God, who is the head of my life, to each and every one of you in your respective places. Deacon Moore is messing with me right now. But I say this, if I was a singing preacher, I'll have my own mic that I would bring to church and have passed on there. And I'll walk around and I'll be singing. And when I get over there to my wife, she'll take it from me and tell me to get up there and preach. I've actually been to a church where the pastor actually did that. He didn't like go down. He went down and he sang, but he didn't walk around. He was close. Sang every song that they did. Amen. I definitely love those old songs. Amen. Thank God for them. Amen. They were testimonies that people sang.
Yeah.
Amen. They put their testimony in a song. And they just sang to the Lord. God bless those who have gone on before us. I pray that we will continue to watch, fight, and pray.
Yeah.
Amen. Give an honor to God, everyone that is here, everyone that respects the places. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen?
Amen.
I'm reading from the King James Version. It should be on the board. Verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. In everything. Husbands, love your wives,
all right,
even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. But no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord, the church, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband.
Amen.
Amen. For the reading, hears, and doers of God's word. Amen. want to read another scripture. And it's coming from Genesis chapter 2 and verse 20. Just want to talk about how God gave Adam an assignment. And I'm not going to read everything word for word, but you understand what the Word of God is saying. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 20, so Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. But Adam didn't find anyone that was comparable to him. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to go over Adam, and he slept. And he took one of Adam's ribs, and he closed it up, and then the rib which the Lord had taken from him, he made a woman. And he brought her to him. Amen? And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. What I want to talk about is there's an attack on marriage, a strong attack. We desperately need to come back to what God, the Word of God, teaches about marriage. Whether you've been married 30 years, or 40 years, or 15 years. Whether you're a teenager and you have a dream of one day of being married, you need to understand what God's plan for marriage is.
All right.
And you need to live according to God's plan. You see, today there's a war on marriage. There's a war on the traditional marriage of one man and one woman, the way God created it to be. Now Satan is working through humans, politicians, to destroy traditional marriage. And the institution of marriage itself. Just like it was in the Garden of Eden, Satan seeks to have humans to decide for themselves what is right and what is wrong in marriage. Instead of marriage being between a man and a woman, it's now between a woman and a woman and a man and a man. That's what our politicians are changing it to be. God created the world. He created marriage and all that is in it. God created the birds and the sky and the beasts of the field. Adam's job was to name all creatures. But Adam had a problem. Adam noticed that there was none like that was around. He had Mr. Cow. He had Miss Cow. He joined them together. He had Miss Blue Jay and Mr. Blue Jay. He joined them together. But where was Miss Adam? She was nowhere to be found. Listen to this. Adam realized that he was alone. He had God. Yes, but Adam did not have another human being like himself. God is the one who placed that desire for companionship inside of Adam's heart. Again, Adam had a problem, but God had a plan for Adam's problem.
All right.
Adam's dilemma did not take God by surprise.
All right.
It didn't take God by surprise. You can surprise me with some things, but it didn't surprise God. God already knew it was not good for man to be alone. God already knew this. God's original plan was to create a helper suitable for Adam.
All right.
Marriage was not an add-on.
All right.
To God's plan. You know, when we do contracts on our job, we do an amendment. Because the contract is already in place. So since the contract is already in place and signed, we have to do an amendment to that contract.
All right.
God did not have to do an amendment to his word.
Right.
It was already there.
Right.
Marriage is God's ideal. He created it. He intended marriage to meet the basic needs, the human needs of love and companionship. He established his plan for marriage all the way back to the Garden of Eden. His perfect plan has not changed. No matter what the world is doing, no matter what laws the politicians are changing, God's word remains the same.
Yeah.
Marriage is a divine origin.
All right.
It was God's idea before Adam thought of it.
All right.
Adam was naming, God already knew what was going on.
All right.
God wanted to create a longing in Adam's heart so that Adam will look to God.
All right.
To fulfill it.
All right.
You understand me?
All right.
God created this, but he wanted Adam to come to him to look to fulfill it.
All right.
Whenever God allows us to experience problems, it is for the purpose of teaching us to depend on God. That's what that problem is for.
All right.
That problem is not for you to go run tell this, run tell that. That problem that is in your life is for you to come to God so he can fix it. Many times when people get problems, they leave the church.
All right.
They leave God.
All right.
God can answer your problems.
All right. All right.
He can fix it. All but right. We leave the one. That's like taking your car. That's like your car got a problem, and instead of going to the mechanic, you want to take it to a junkyard. The mechanic can fix it. But we don't take it there. After God created Eve, he brought her to Adam. He brought her to Adam. I thought that was interesting. You want to talk about a match made from heaven?
Well,
marriage is about recognizing the uniqueness in our mates.
All right.
Eve was created uniquely for Adam. No other creature was suitable as a helper for him.
All right.
Eve was unique in that she was created differently. She was brought to him in a different manner. And their relationship was different from all the other creatures.
All right.
One of the most important things we can do in our marriage is to recognize the uniqueness of the person that God has brought into our lives as our husband or wife.
Uh-huh.
Amen?
Yeah.
They have qualities, talents, abilities, and personalities that make them unique and special.
All right.
They have gifts that complement you and help make you a complete person.
Yeah.
As your gifts do for them.
Right.
Wives, your husband is uniquely yours.
All right.
He was created by God to complete complete you, to lovingly lead you, to provide for you, to be the head of you as Jesus Christ is the head of the church.
All right.
Husbands, your wife is uniquely yours.
All
right. Amen? Uh-huh. Uniquely yours. She was created by God to complete you, to stand alongside you.
All right.
In Genesis chapter 3, Satan enters the garden of God to oppose God and deceive the pinnacle of creation. Scripture describes Satan as crafty,
all right,
a subtle foe who is full of evil brilliance.
All right. All
right. Want y'all to know that he ain't no dummy.
All right.
All we can say he's dummy, that sounds good, but he ain't no dummy. He was one of the most intelligent beings,
all right,
that God created.
All
you
right.
Don't believe me? Read your Bible.
All
so
right.
When you say the devil is stupid, no, he ain't.
All right.
He is very brilliant.
Uh-huh.
If he can get, think about this for a moment. I don't think we ever really realized this. I believe he got 2/3 of heaven to come rebel with him.
Uh-huh.
That's a lot. I mean, we're talking about angels already in heaven,
right,
know about God, seeing God's word, but yet they allow the devil to influence them. They're in heaven. They ain't down here.
Right.
You want to talk about power?
All right.
Satan is the god of this world who blinds and deceives the whole world.
Right.
Nobody wants to talk about the devil. We always want to blame God for everything.
All right.
Anything that happens, God did it. Why did God allow this to happen? And we don't think about what the devil did. God come that you may have life
right.
more abundantly. That's what the scripture says.
Yeah.
Satan comes to rob, steal, and destroy.
Yeah.
If any of that stuff going on, that's the devil.
All right now.
God come that you may have life more abundantly. People that are doing that stuff is allowing the devil to use them.
Yeah. All right.
Satan hates marriage.
Yeah.
Here's why. Marriage is an order. Covenant relationship that reflects God's order relationship within the Trinity, and that also reflects God's covenant relationship with his people.
Yes.
Marriage is associated with God.
All right.
Anything that's associated with God, Satan hates it.
All right.
I can't explain it no better than that.
All
if
right.
God likes something, created something, Satan doesn't like it.
All right.
He likes the opposite of it.
All
right. God the Father, the Son, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, are all co-equal. And yet the Son voluntarily submits to the Father.
All right.
And the Holy Spirit voluntarily glorifies the Son.
All right.
And so in the Trinity, there is perfect love and submission
all right.
among the three persons.
All right.
Amen. Who are equally God.
All right.
In the same way, marriage as a picture of God is also an ordered relationship. Husbands and wives are equal partners in the marriage.
All right.
And yet God has established that order within humanity,
uh-huh.
within the relationship.
Uh-huh.
Satan hates Christian marriage in particular for believers in Christ because we display the gospel.
All right.
We're displaying the gospel of marriage.
Yeah.
Satan aims to destroy Christians' marriage because it hinders the witness of Jesus Christ to the world.
All right.
To counter Satan's attack, we must understand God's design for marriage and Satan's strategy against it. Men and women are created together in God's image and therefore have equal value,
all right,
dignity, and worth. Watch this. This is what's going to get a lot of people. Secular feminists today often misunderstand this. They think the Bible discriminates against women. When the reality is that from the beginning, the Bible taught the high value of women created together with man in God's image. The Bible has constantly promoted a higher value for women than that found in the surrounding cultures. The Bible does not teach that men and women have different values of worth in marriage, but rather they have different roles.
All right.
God designed marriage and he designed the roles in marriage.
All right.
Watch this. And most, if not all, of the problems that we experience in marriage are due to one or both of the marriage partners not fulfilling their God-designed role. That's what it boils down to.
All right.
Somebody is not fulfilling their God-designed role.
All right.
You're not doing your part. It brings down everything.
All right.
Because marriage is not 50-50.
All right.
It is 100.
All right.
From both parties.
All right.
I don't know who's teaching that foolishness, but if I were you, I wouldn't listen to them anymore. In order for any marriage to function as God intended, we must first understand our roles.
All right.
And then we must apply them in our own marriage.
All right.
If I give you some instructions, if you don't read it, then you're not going to understand how to build.
All right.
You're not going to follow the blueprint.
You know, I
work over there in downtown St. Louis, and they building up Ballpark Village. You know, I wanted to go over there and just snatch the blueprint away from them. And I want to see if they could follow, if they could still build this building. And you know the answer to that is? No, they will not.
All right.
They'll have an idea, but it won't be the same. Because now what has been taken away from them is the foundation of how to build it.
All right.
The first marriage attack is in the Garden of Eden. Satan deceived Eve into taking from the forbidden tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eve disobeyed God's authority and disobeyed him, and Adam didn't do anything to help the situation. He just went along with it. That's not what that was supposed to be. All Adam did was just stand by and did nothing. And went along with Eve. That was the first marital attack ever by Satan on the Institute of Marriage. Adam and Eve made the fatal decision to take for themselves the knowledge of good and evil. And all we need to do is look at the human history to find out how that turned out.
All right.
We need to understand the institution of marriage is under attack by the forces of Satan and society. As Christians, we cannot stand back and just observe from a safe distance. Divorce is now a part of the church family. Marriage was designed by God himself. He instituted it and performed the first wedding ceremony in the Garden of Eden. He has continued it down through the ages.
All right.
Satan uses marriage and the home as his greatest battleground.
All right.
The easiest way to destroy churches and society is through the home.
All right.
Man, you can tear it up.
All right.
The cornerstone of every home in the relationship between the husband and the wife is right there. God takes special care to make sure we understand his principles in this relationship. In many marriages, there is a power struggle. In verse 22, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. The word submit means to arrange your life in subjection to another. In other words, to willingly put yourself
under another person's authority. Right. Submission has to do with order.
All right.
God is the one who established order in life, and God asks us to submit to the order that he has designed.
All right.
Submission is a Christian attribute. Some of y'all probably don't believe me. It's not just a female attribute. It is a Christian attribute. If you look back at what I said in, well, I kind of left this out for a reason because I wanted you to understand this one. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, we find that we are to submit ourselves one to another. Understand that. I left that out so I can bag it up and so I can tell you what the scripture says. We are to submit ourselves one to another. So I'm telling you that it is a Christian attribute for us to submit ourselves. You can find this in Hebrews chapter 13. We are to submit to our pastor. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we are to submit to the elder. In many passages, we are told to submit to God and his word. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and 13, we are to submit to the law of the land.
All right.
You can't just go out there and break the law and say, in Jesus' name, I can do that. No, that ain't gonna work. That's gonna get you locked up. You break, you grow through that stop sign, or you go through the red light.
Right.
Or you on your job and you wanna all of a sudden have Bible study.
All right.
No, they can't stop us from having Bible study. We're doing this in the name of the Lord. You're going to get fired in the name.
All right.
You can't go on somebody's job and have Bible study.
All right.
I mean, you can have it, but have it within your break. You don't. If your break is for an hour, you stay within that hour. Don't go over, say, 30 minutes and say, ooh, we got caught up in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you, you going to get fired. Folks go on jobs and just think they can do it and think God going to protect them. No. God said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar. We have to understand there is laws in the land. As long as it's not allowing you to go against God's word, you can go by it.
All right.
Stop sign has nothing to do with God's word. I tell you what, common sense, you go through it, you may get killed. That's just common sense. I mean, I would say, if it says stop, I'm going to stop, look, and see what's coming, and if not, I'm going to proceed. That's just common sense.
All right.
The last portion of this verse, verse 22, as unto the Lord. In other words, God wants wives to submit to their husband as they would the Lord himself. Now, there are some ladies in the church that would never allow this verse to touch them. They won't. It's humiliating. It's unfair, and it says outdated. But we must trust the Lord and his word not to lead us the wrong way. Listen to this. The word of God is not the problem. Our understanding of it could be the problem.
All right.
We need to understand God's word. In verse 23 and 24, the husband is the head of the wife. He is the leader and the authority in the marriage. This does not make the wife a second-class citizen.
All right.
Although some husbands use this verse to put their wives in this situation. That's not, that should not be.
All right.
Listen to this. I work for a large company, and we have what is called a state president. And the state president runs the market, okay? He is our leader. He is our authority figure, okay? The company has other state presidents in that particular area. He is not better than me. Listen to what I'm saying. He relies on his workers for many things and trusts us to carry out his orders. Because he is ultimately what? And he's responsible for running the market. It is the same situation in the home. There must be someone responsible for leadership. That's just the way God operates. When you have two heads, you have a monster.
Right.
You know, I mean, even when I was growing up watching cartoons, when I saw two heads, they'll tell you that's a monster. You got one want to go this way, the other want to go that way. We need to understand there must be someone responsible for leadership. In other words, when growing up, I had step sisters, you know, and brothers. So when our parents would leave, somebody was left in charge. Somebody had to be responsible for us, especially me. Because I will get into whatever it is that needs to be getting into. I'm just being real with you. Whatever is open is going to be closed. Whatever is closed will be open. I was that type of mischievous child. And I'm just saying, they need somebody to say, okay, we need somebody to be in charge while we're gone. Usually it falls on the elders. Amen? So God has placed that responsibility on the husband. As the church is subject to their leader, Jesus Christ, so is the wife subject to her leader, the husband. The husband, the savior of the body. This means that he is the provider, the preserver, the protector of the wife. He is responsible for her to God as Christ is responsible for the church. God has placed the ladies in an exalted position, but our modern mentality has made it seem outdated.
All right.
And old-fashioned. In order for a wife to help her husband's men, you have to be doing something.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. A helper, when you define a helper, that's somebody that's helping you. So if that person is defined as a helper, mean you have to be doing something. That don't mean just sitting down and doing nothing and letting a woman do everything. That's not what that means.
All right.
Nowadays, you got women that are taking care of their men. Now, listen to what I'm saying here. And a man ain't doing nothing but sitting at home, chilling, watching TV. Mm. Baby, you go to the store today? When you gonna cut that grass? I mean, that's the way it is. I'm sorry if you're in that type of relationship, but that's not the way it's supposed to be. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to what I'm saying. Read the Bible. When God gave Adam his wife, when did he give it to him? When Adam had a job.
All right. All right.
Read it. I'm preaching.
All right.
When God gave Adam his wife, his companion, Adam had a job. He was employed. He wasn't sitting back chilling. God gave him a job.
All right.
God said, you're going to till this garden. You're going to make it grow. You're going to name these animals. Right. God gave him something to do.
All right.
God did not design us to sit down and do nothing. Right. It's hard for me when I go home to sit still.
All right.
Because it's in my dinner. I mean, my DNA.
All right.
It's in my DNA. Time sitting still. It's like I got to be doing something. I got to clean up. I'm not trying to show anybody up. I'm wired like this.
All right.
God did this to me.
Yeah.
I'd be wanting to sit there, but I can't.
All right.
I gotta get up and do something. I went out there and fired up the snow blower. Ain't no snow outside.
All right.
I did it twice.
All right.
What's wrong with me? God wired me for work.
All right.
When I'm at work, I kid you not, when I'm at work and one of my coworkers is out for a long period of time, I just and I tell him, I say, just give me the entire territory. I'll take it over. I don't need nobody's help.
All right.
I do it all by myself. I ain't trying to show out. I ain't trying to brag. I'm just telling you how I'm wired.
All right.
Then when somebody else leaves in a different part of the state, that's not close to me. They were like, well, can you split that up? That's too many. I mean, I can't do all of that. We ain't talking about but a few.
All right.
God wired me this way.
All right.
Listen, sometimes the ladies can say being a wife is harder. All the husband has to do is do love. That is an underestimation of the love of God. The husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. Y'all want me to go there? Because I'm going to tell you something. Love is sacrificing.
All right.
Okay? It's a sacrifice. The love that a husband has to give, the husband is talking about sacrifice. Jesus loved the church. Didn't he not sacrifice his life for the church? That was a sacrifice. God tested me in the beginning of our marriage with Sonia. He tested me. I'm going to tell you how he tested me. Y'all know before I got married, bought me a BMW. Yeah, I was looking good in it too. And had it cleaned and everything. Two-door coupe. Man, I only drove it on the weekends. Nobody even knew I had the car. Drove my other car during the week. Yeah, y'all saw me in Smooth and all that. But on the weekend, I was in something different. I could pass by you, we even knew. Drove that car. Drove it on the weekend. Had it even covered up underneath the carport. Loved the car. Loved the vehicle. God blessed me with it. I wanted it all my life. Waiting and praying. Said, God, I want a BMW, Lord. Bless me one. God said, I'm going to bless you with one. I said, woohoo, got it. I'm not playing with y'all. This is serious.
Yeah.
Y'all see me laughing at me right now. This is emotional. God gave it to me. Now, I got married. Sacrifice. Jeremiah came. Got this two-door coupe. Trying to put this pumpkin seat back there. Getting a little tiresome. I'm like, I ain't giving up this BMW. God blessed me with it. And I ain't giving it up. But God said, you got to sacrifice, son. You married now. Got mad. This is serious. My wife didn't know what I was going through. And I'm going to tell you, she really don't mess with me about that BMW because it's serious stuff. But God said to me, if you love your wife, then get rid of that BMW. I said, Lord, is there anything else? Is there anything else I can get rid of? Come on, Lord, come right now. Get rid of that BMW. Lord Jesus, not the BMW, Lord. It's got to be something else. No, get rid of it, sell it, sacrifice. You got a family now. You got a child on the way. God said, you need to get rid of it. God knew my heart. He knew I loved that BMW. God said, get rid of it. So I did it, and it hurt. I went up there and took my BMW up there, and I had it detailed real good, had the man to clean it up, and I spent some time with the BMW by myself. Kind of walked around it. I looked at it. I did it like this. As I was walking around it, got emotional, got to the front. I wanted to say, it looked like I saw some tears on the BMW, so I just kind of rubbed it a little bit. But it was hard. Told the BMW that we had some good times on the weekend. We were rolling together. Told him, I said, it's unfortunately, I'm married now, and I got to depart from you. And had to call my uncle, had to call him, come get me, because I got rid of the BMW. He come up there and he wanted to take pictures, I ain't want to see it. You know how he is, he wanted to take pictures of it. I turned my back, walked away, I said, I'm good. Got in the truck, just sitting there, wanting to pull off. Now, every now and then, I see a BMW that look like mine. I be looking and wondering if it's that. It can come home. But God said sacrifice. It's hard. Sacrificing is hard. You got to give up something that hurts. The husband should sacrifice for his wife. That's what I did. Sacrifice. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. The words point back to Jesus' ultimate love and sacrifice on the cross. He loved us, that he died on the cross for us. He came down from heaven. He didn't have to come down. He could have stayed up there and said, Lord, just destroy everybody. But the love that he had for us, he said, no, let me go down and let me bring back the fellowship. Let me redeem them. It's like a car that needs a jump. When you call and you need a car that has the same juice in it to transfer that same power into it. Husbands, how are you called to love your wife just as Jesus gave himself at the cross? So your sacrifice to everything for your wife, just as Jesus gave himself away for the church, you are to give yourself away for your wife. Yeah. It was not an easy thing for Jesus to do on the cross. Everything in him screamed against it. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus pleaded with the Father, my Father, if it be possible,
all right,
may this cup be taken away from me.
That's what he said.
That's in the word of God.
Yeah.
Yet not as I will, but as your will.
Yeah.
It was hard for Jesus.
All right.
That wasn't easy. Three times Jesus prayed for the cross to be taken away from him. This was serious. But God didn't grant him that.
All right.
Jesus went to the cross at great cost to himself. He sacrificed himself for our benefit. He put our needs before himself.
All right.
And husbands, God calls you to sacrifice for your wife at great cost to yourself. God calls you to put yourself, your needs, before your own. Wives, those are not selfish needs. Now, the wife can say, well, I need something. God is not talking about selfish needs.
All right.
God does not care about selfish needs.
All right.
Selfish needs doesn't honor God. The husband has the responsibility of living out the love of Christ towards his wife. The husband has the responsibility to help his wife develop personally and spiritually.
All right.
The husband should be a spiritual leader and help her become more like Christ.
All right.
He should allow her to develop her beauty both outwardly and inwardly. You got to work it. Amen? Husbands should ask themselves this question. Is my wife a better Christian and better person because she is married to me?
All right.
If the answer is no, then you are not fulfilling your obligation as a godly husband.
All right.
This is real. Wives, if you have a spiritual husband, you need to be willing to listen. God did not design men to take your constant coming down on him.
All right.
God did not wire us that way.
All right.
He did not wire us for you to be constantly coming down. When I said all scripture is God-breathed, in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 9, it says here, there's a reason why God allowed this to be here. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house.
All right.
God put this scripture in the Bible for a reason. Amen. Wives, you can tear down a man.
All right.
There's a reason why God allowed this scripture in there. I had a lady to say to me, I was out and I was at a store. I don't know where this lady came from, what she said, why she, said, ain't nothing you gonna do to please your wife. What's she talking about? I'm a stranger. She's a stranger. And where she was going was, she said, you can do everything your wife say do, and you still ain't going to please your wife. I was like, wow, so that's deep. She said, even if you did give her everything she wanted and you brought it, she said she's gonna be mad at something about what you done. About what you, how you presented it to her. Said you could have carried it in the wrong way and she'll be mad at you. She said to me, she said, ain't nothing you're gonna do. But then I thought about that scripture where God said, I will supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. Nobody, whether male or female, will you be able to please the person you're with. No way you'd be able to do that. If it was possible, then we wouldn't need God. We wouldn't need God if we could do that. Self-considering love. Another principle of human love is loving his wife as he loved himself. No man ever hated his own flesh. If we do anything well, we know how to love ourselves.
All right.
It is natural to be aware of how we project ourselves and appear to others. Let me tell you something. When men like to look good and smell good. I saw a guy, I'd tell he had some new shoes on because he was walking and he was looking down at them. I was standing there and my lips was twisted. I was like, yeah, he got some new shoes on, you know. And so my point is men like to look good. We like to dress the part. We love ourselves. And when I say we love ourselves, I'm not saying it in another way. I'm saying it, we're not going to do harm to ourselves.
All right.
Amen?
All right.
Just like we would never embarrass ourselves or belittle ourselves, we have to do that same thing towards our wives. Uh-huh. Not to embarrass them, not to belittle them. Sometimes I see couples arguing in public. I'm like, oh, come on, man. You got to take that someplace else. That shouldn't even be out there. But you hear this all the time. We should nourish and cherish, give more light. The words mean to build, to strengthen, and to tenderly care for. We should be strengthening one another. We're going to get attacked by Satan. Amen? We're going to get attacked by Satan, but we should not be attacking one another.
Amen.
Even the Bible says this, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers that there may be. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. There is a spiritual demonic force that is trying to infiltrate into marriages. Marriage partners must remain alert and know when the devil is trying to come in. Marriages are under attack by the Supreme Court. But make no mistake about it, we know who's behind it. It is Satan. If Satan can destroy traditional marriage, he can destroy society, because the family is the foundation of society. And as the family goes, good or bad, so goes society. Marriage is a divine institution created by God, and now mankind wants to destroy it. But we really know who is behind it. It's the evil work that goes way back into the Garden of Eden, and Satan is under the attack, trying to attack God's people, and he is trying to attack the marriage. Why? Because God ordained marriage, created marriage. Satan don't want to have anything to do with marriage. In the order. For marriage, in order for marriage to work, it must be carried out God's way.
All right.
There are no better ideas or new innovations in the husband-wife relationship. We don't need new self-help books or psychologist tests to determine priorities in our marriage. We need Christians, both men and women, to renew their determination practice scripturally principled in their marriage relationship. It needs to be, God's word needs to be the foundation of every marriage.
All right.
It needs to be the word of God.
All right.
The man's role is to sacrifice for his wife.
All right.
Out of love for her.
All right.
And the woman's role is to submit to her husband out of respect for him. Sacrifice motivated by love.
All
submission
right.
motivated by respect. You know, you can't force either one of these. Forced sacrifice is not motivated by love.
All right. All
and forced right. submission is not motivated by respect.
All right.
But if every husband and wife took their own assigned roles
All right.
seriously,
All right.
we would go a long way to restoring the peace, love, and harmony that God has intended for marriage to be.
All right.
So why do we have so much trouble with all of this? I think one reason is because this teaching has been distorted so much over the years. Too often people think these verses are saying that men have the right to boss their wives around the house. And guys, if that's what you think leadership is in the home is all about, you need to take a close look at what it means to love your wife as Christ loved the church.
Right.
Your role is not to boss your wife
right.
around, but to sacrifice for her out of love.
Yeah.
And then a second reason we have trouble with the teaching is because we are struggling with sin. Mm-hmm. Y'all need to understand, sin is real. It is present, and it is active. Amen? You know, I'm going to say this. The last time I checked, Satan didn't retire.
All right.
Y'all understand what I'm saying? I mean, I didn't see he was retiring, that he was putting in his 2 weeks' notice. Amen? Or that he said, I'm about ready to give this up. You know, I'm done with this. I didn't see that. That is not in his plan. That is not in his future.
All right.
See, husbands and wives, we each have specific root problems, and that's sin. When it comes to sin in this area of marriage, I believe the root problem for women is one of rebellion. The root problem for men is one of selfishness.
All right.
When women have trouble with submission, the real problem is that they don't want to submit to God's order. It is a heart problem of rebellion against God and his design. And when men have trouble with sacrificial love, the real problem is that we are selfish and we do not want to put our wives first.
All right.
That's what I think this all boils down to. Sometimes we think we're not materialistic. Okay. That's why Jesus told the rich young ruler, sell everything you got. Oh, what you talking about? See, we can't get rid of that. See, Jesus know how to get you right where it hurts.
All right.
Folks want to stay. Let me just say this. Let's say we go on a fast. Folks will say, I'm giving up reading the newspaper. Don't even read the newspaper. Gone somewhere. You just went 30 days without reading the newspaper. Ain't nobody talking to you. I mean, let's just be real, right? Let's say you have an addiction. You have something that you love to do. You know, I mean, I'm just saying this. I had to, y'all know I love baseball, love the Cardinals. I don't care if they stink. I don't care if they bad. I don't care if they lose every game. I'm still going to wear my Cardinal cap, my jersey, all of that. Talk about them, everything you want to do. But you know what? 11 championships, we're good. Okay? Now, why did I say that? Well, I had to sacrifice at home. I was always sitting in front of that TV watching. Wife said, we can get rid of cable. I don't know why she do me like she do. We got to get rid of it. Oh, I'm going to the other room. Came back out. Okay, we can do that. It was hard because I'm used to watching them. I got to see what they're doing. I got to fuss at the TV. I got to yell at the manager. I got to do all of these things. Now I couldn't do it no more. Sacrifice. Love. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Now, I can see ladies shaking their head. Yeah, but see, it's a two-way street.
All right.
It's not one way.
All right.
We all got to sacrifice. Let me tell you something. If God see one person in a relationship sacrificing and you're not, guess what God's going to do? God going to fix that. And what you don't want to do, you're going to find yourself doing. And it's going to be the hand of God in that situation. Many times your frustration is not on me. It's on what you're not doing. It's kind of like coming up to somebody and doing this. All right, I'm giving you everything I got. But my hand is behind my back, hiding something from you. I'm withholding information. God sees what's behind your back. He knows that you are not being honest. So God says, nah, I tell you what, I'm going to expose that hand. This is what God does to us. You cannot play with God. I don't care how intelligent, how smart you are. I don't care what your IQ test was. It doesn't matter. You are nothing compared to God.
All right.
Satan is the most brilliant being that God created, but he still couldn't outdo God.
All right.
You can't kill God. He thought he could kill God. You can't kill God. He's a spirit that got inside of a body that walked the earth.
All right.
It's like a tailor creating a suit. And you go and you step inside the suit. We need to understand. God sees all. If marriage is going to work, it's got to work by God's order.
All right.
His principle. If it's not being done that way, then it's not going to work at all. It's just that plain and simple.
All right.
Satan is attacking marriage because Satan hates it. He doesn't like marriage. It disturbs every time he sees marriage. When he sees marriage in harmony, when he sees marriage operating the way that God has designed it to be, it makes him mad. And so what do? He goes in and he tries to destroy it. Because what you're doing is displaying the gospel.
All right.
When marriage is working in harmony, you're displaying the gospel that God has ordained. And Satan is looking like, I can't stand it.
All right.
I don't like this.
All right.
So he's saying that I don't like this marriage. It's, I got to do something. I got to throw something in there to mess things up.
All right.
Maybe I get the wife to just say something to the husband. Even though he's doing his best, he's trying his best, just say something to him to mess him up. Or get the husband to say something to the wife. You know, I remember working down at X-ray in St. Mary's Hospital, and we X-rayed this guy. And this guy said, we doing orbits and all of that type of stuff. And he came in, we said, why? What happened? He said, man, I was outside cutting grass. And I decided to go in the house. And I started mouthing off at my wife. She took the pan and went upside my head. I was about 19, 20 years old. I was young. I said, so what you learn from this? You going to stay outside next time? I pushed him on to the emergency room. Get on out of here, man. You should have known better than that. He ain't going in the kitchen while his wife cooking. Hey, you don't do that. First of all, you shouldn't have said nothing to her anyway. My point is, we allow things to enter into us, and we provoke situations. We need to put our trust in God and allow God to work in our marriage. If we allow God to work in our marriage, it will be a glory.